Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello. 1, 2.
Two, 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 1, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2.
Just standing 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Just standing in the queue and duns. 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 1, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2.
Sorry, 2 seconds. 1, 2, 1, 2. 1, 2, 1, 2. Yeah, no, fine.
Mom, yeah. 2, 2, 1, 2, 2, 2, 2. Yeah, no, go ahead, fire ahead, yep.
I'm Georgie Crawford.
And I'm Claire Solan.
We've known each other for what feels like a lifetime, but our friendship has really soared in the last few years as we've navigated some really challenging times. Life is never easy, but what makes it so much better is connecting with people who love you and get you.
On Soul Sisters, we're here to share the wisdom we've learned on our journey to becoming a life coach
and a health coach.
We're here to have fun, to focus on well-being and support each other as we do the work.
The Soul Sisters podcast is a Good Glow production brought to you with thanks to Vichy. Vichy is a doctor-founded skincare brand which has led the way in health and beauty innovation for 90 years.
Powered by active ingredients, Vichy products are clinically proven, hypoallergenic and dermatologically tested for sensitive skin, making them a pioneer in skin health science. You can rely on Vichy to provide a safe and effective skincare routine for you, no matter what your skin type or stage of life.
All Vichy products are available in local pharmacies nationwide. Hello and welcome to Soul Sisters. At the end of last week's episode, Claire, you told us that you were going off cat sitting for a week. So I am so excited to catch up with you and see how your week has been going. I follow you on Instagram at Claire Solan, and I've been seeing a beautiful shower, bath. It looks like you were living in the lap of luxury for a week.
I was in a place called Chigwell, which is Essex, and I was taking care of a cat called Iggy. Now, Iggy and I got on really well. The first thing I need to say about cat sitting, as soon as I mentioned it on last week's episode, my sister sent me a text message and she said, "I'm getting sweats about you poking around their house. Don't do it." And I want to assure you, for anybody just like my sis Ruth out there, I didn't do it. I was only joking. Because sure, look, I can't even write a diary for fear that someone's going to read it. So I definitely didn't poke around their house. What I did do, though, is I white saged.
Oh, you saged their house.
Yeah. Which some people might think is a little stranger than having a nose around. Mm. But white sage just balances the energy. And I just felt, if I'm going to go over and live in this house that I don't live in for a week, I'm going to bring me white sage with me.
Mm, sometimes I sage Jamie when he's annoying me. It works every time. And you can actually buy sage in Folkestone, in Dundrum and town. So make sure to pick some up. Sage your husband, sage your pets, sage your house, sage your neighbours.
Sage your ma, sage yourself, sage.
I do sage myself as well, in fairness.
Do you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, actually, it is. It's a good. So if you're saging your house, go around the corners of your room.
Okay.
So they call it smudging, and it originated with the Native American Indians. They use it in a ceremonial way or for rituals. And if you burn it, the best thing to do in your home is to do it in the corner. So go around with your arm in the air and do it in the corners of each room so that you can balance the energy and clear any toxicity that may exist.
Lovely. So you did say that they were also leaving you with a full fridge. So we need to know what was in the fridge.
Well, they asked me, I'll get you a few bits and pieces on top of what's there. What would you like me to get you? And I channeled my inner GC, GWE, and I asked them to give me salmon, some stir fry materials and some blueberries. And I must say, when I saw it in the fridge, I was absolutely
Raging.
I must have, raging. I was absolutely raging. I was like, why did I do that? Why did I say, like, I wanted them to think that I'm a really good person and I eat really well. And like, I always eat salmon and blueberries, and I get over to a house that I'm staying in. A house. I live in a flat. I get into a beautiful house, and all that's there is what I eat every single week. So I, you know, ordered a couple of takeaways just to balance the books a bit.
And like, how did you feel in that house? Did you feel like it was like a treat, or you were on holidays?
I did feel like it was a treat. I was in a four-poster bed, which belongs to Beatrix, or Bibi, their eldest daughter. And the cat Iggy was so cute. When I first arrived, Iggy, like, I've owned cats for 20 years. So me and the felines, like, we get each other. But Iggy was like, who the hell are you? So she was watching, like, peering at me. I'm going to post another picture of her on my Instagram, actually, just to, I spent a week putting time in with this pet. And it was only when I was walking out the door did I see a real look of love in her eyes. Probably because I was leaving. So I was 5 days in Chigwell, in Essex. But I was delighted to come back to my own little pad. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. And as soon as I got back, I was just checking all of the rooms and the windows and stuff because of Storm Eunice. And I opened my windows. I have a lovely bay window at the back of my flat. And I opened the window because I found a ladybird. A tiny little ladybird that looked like a baby ladybird, which I've never seen before. So I opened the window to so I could blow it out off my hand. And I found a nest of them.
Wow.
So living in the frame of the window was a nest of ladybirds. So, of course, I got mega excited about this because every time we see animals, we got to find out what they mean. So spiritually, ladybirds are symbols of good luck and prosperity. When farmers see a lot of ladybirds in spring, they view it as a sign of a bountiful harvest. They're associated with goodness, positivity, and they may bring more love to your life.
Oh.
How about you? How was your week?
Okay, where do I begin with my week?
Yikes.
So we record our podcast on a Monday. This week we're doing it on a Sunday, which is different for us. But last Monday when we finished recording the podcast, the way on that podcast, I had kind of spoken about speaking to my mom and surrendering, and I suppose I had been in denial for the weekend and saying everything was fine, everything's going to be fine. And on the Monday, the reality of the situation between Ukraine and Russia really hit me. Mm-hmm. So I felt like I surrendered on that Monday morning, recorded the podcast with you. And then an hour after we finished recording the podcast, I got the text that I've been waiting for 18 months. And it said, your embryo transfer is due to take place on the 21st of the 2nd, 2022. And there was two things about that. First of all, I just thought the timing was strange. And I thought the date was perfect. And for the whole week, I think I've been awake for a week. Claire, I've been asleep but awake. And I've woken up every single day praying that there would be a resolution to this, that we could go ahead with the transfer tomorrow. So we contacted our clinic on Thursday and we asked them, is there any way that they could ask our surrogate if she could wait an extra month? On Friday morning, I was in Dunn's and we got the email to say that she didn't want to wait. So I was on my way to acupuncture, Claire. It was so weird. I tried to cancel the acupuncture appointment at 4 o'clock the previous day, but they were closed. So I was like, I can't, send them an email. It's too short notice. So I'll just go. So I went into the acupuncture. I was absolutely, like, my heart was broken. And I sat down on the bed, and Jeanette, who does my acupuncture, she like held my hand, and she said, you know, people always come in here with broken hearts and in pain, and just lie down there. And she put all the needles in me, and she left me for 50 minutes, and I cried, and I was just so disappointed. And but something happened, and I walked out of the Holistic Wellness in Black Rock, and I felt different than when I walked in. Okay, so I am. I knew that I had to let her go. Whoa. Because I'm doing what's best for my family, but she's doing what's best for her family, and she has to keep going. Yeah. She's taking the medication. Her body is ready for an embryo. She has to do what's best for her family to protect herself. So I came out and I said, Jamie, I don't want to try and keep her. We have to let her go. So we rang our clinic, and I said, look, I'd never try to stop her doing what she needs to do, but what can you do for us going forward? And they were so nice and so reassuring. Annette Hickey, our solicitor, was on the call, who's just the most, she's an angel. And we have decided between us that we're going to delay the surrogacy and wait for more stability in Ukraine, and please God we can get back up and running. Maybe it's only a 3 month delay, it might be a 6 month delay, but I don't think it's any coincidence that this was happening on Pia's birthday. And it made me really appreciate what I have. It made me really appreciate the people around me who support me, and it made me trust the process, you know. And my heart breaks when I look at Pia sometimes, and I haven't been able to give her a sibling before now, but I know that it's going to happen for us, and this is just a bump in the road.
And what you've been able to give Pia is your undivided attention. You know, she's turned 5 now, and she's had mum and dad all to herself, which is going to make her such a rounded big sister.
Yeah. It's so heartbreaking. I never thought that this would happen, obviously. My heart is going to be shattered tomorrow. But I've been in these rock bottom moments before and found a way out, and I know that I'll get through it. Oh, so anyway, I'm sure everything will be fine, apart from my eyes, from the glue from these eyelashes. I cannot see anymore.
What ones? Who do you wear, babes?
Oh, so Sue every time.
So Sue me.
So Sue needs to put a little warning. Do not cry in my lashes, girls.
Suzanne Jackson used to work with you and I in Radio Land.
She's a mate. Remember she used to say to us, I'll show you all. I'll show you all. And she did.
And she has. Soul sister Suzanne Jackson sending you all of the love, my girl. All of the love.
Last week, Claire, I gave you some homework, and that was to watch The Tinder Swindler. Every person I meet these days, the first thing I say to them is, have you watched The Tinder Swindler? Because I need to talk about this. That's what I miss about radio or working in an office, you know?
Yes.
You come in, you've all watched the same thing, or you've listened to the same podcast. You sit around a desk for like 40 minutes to an hour just discussing what you saw on the TV. But interested to hear your thoughts on this, Claire.
Well, it was homework. So of course I left it to the last minute. So last night I sat down and watched The Tinder Swindler. Which actually isn't that easy to say. What the I think I sat on the couch with my, it was 1 hour, 54 minutes. And I think my mouth was open for 1 hour, 51 minutes. Mm.
Shocking, wasn't it?
Shocking. Okay, disclaimer. I'm not a massive advocate of Tinder anyway. Look, who is these days? Do you know? I think even someone who's single, Tinder is not the one you might necessarily go to. Mm. You know, over here in the UK, Hinge is quite popular and it's just a little bit more balanced because you can actually, it's kind of more personality focused.
Oh, yeah.
But so I went into it thinking, I mean, this is going to unfortunately prove me right on the Tinder front. But this guy, I mean,
lowest of the low.
Pond scum. Pond scum. But like, it reminded me of Catch Me If You Can, you know, the Leo DiCaprio and Tom Hanks movie. It's like just those people in history. Those people in history who just decide that they want so desperately to be something they're not, that they will prey on the vulnerabilities, the insecurities on women in this case, and make these women fall in love with him and then start demanding money.
Yeah.
Because he's being chased by his enemies.
It seems like we kind of glamorize these sort of characters, don't we? Like, I was trying to find your man on Instagram after I watched, and I think his profile has been deleted. But apparently he's back to living the dream, living the high life.
That's what was the most frustrating thing about the documentary for me. First of all, I was shouting at the telly. The girls are like, yeah, so I got another Amex, or yeah, so I contacted another bank and got a loan. And I'm like, what the hell? This is all happening on WhatsApp. Like, stop, stop. And then the other moment I was shouting at the TV was the very end where, you know, I love that bit in documentaries where they give you the update of what's going on now.
And like, what's your experience of the apps? So I missed that boat. Like, the apps happened after I got together with Jamie. Mm-hmm. So would you be scrolling on Tinder?
Now, these days?
Mm.
No, I'm off them.
And have you ever met anyone kind of dodgy online?
Yes. Yes, I have. Like, not obviously a really dodgy character, but what I've met is men who know what women want, but they don't want it themselves. So what they do is, like, I remember meeting the last guy I dated, actually, before the pandemic, had told me after a couple of months of dating that he had selected the photos that he had on his profile because he knew how women felt about certain photographs. And it was actually in that documentary last night, you know, man with a baby, man doing something outdoorsy, man with a pet. So it was so contrived. His whole being on this, his whole persona on this platform was not actually to connect with someone and fall in love. It was to close the deal, seal the deal. And I realized after a couple of months, because I didn't sleep with this guy, that actually that's what he was looking for. And when he realized that wasn't going to happen, he disappeared.
Wow. So where do you imagine that you would meet someone now, Claire? Do you feel like it will happen, like it will be an encounter just face to face?
So that's the only option I've given myself. It's IRL all the way. But like you talked about earlier on, I trust the process. And it's hey, it's a risk, you know, and I know myself, time is ticking, but I believe the right person is out there for me and I will meet them when the time is right. So watch this face. God. I would love to think that a friend of a friend of a friend will eventually end up being my one and only. Be that through at work or you know, through social networks. What I will continue to do, and we've talked about this on Soul Sisters before, is to keep doing the things I love. I remember hearing a lovely line, do what you love and there he'll be. So that's twofold. Either I'll pursue my passions in whatever I do socially and I'll meet him there, or I'll be pursuing what I love to do and be so distracted by that that suddenly ding dong. There he is on my doorstep with pizza.
Nice. Do you think you're like, if Mr. Wright came along like at 4:30 this afternoon, do you feel like you'd be ready, or would you be like, no, I need more time to do me?
No, I'm ready. I'm ready now.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm ready. And you know, here's the thing for me. I know me. I love me. I do me now. So even if he comes along, he's not going to be filling a gap.
Yeah.
He's going to be coming. He's going to be jumping on the bandwagon and driving with me on his path and my path.
I love that. Like, even, you know, when people would say, oh, he completes me, you know, like even with Jamie. Okay. Mad about Jamie. Love being married to Jamie.
Yeah.
Where is this going? But if the worst was to happen and Jamie was to pack his bags and leave, I believe that I would be okay. It would be very, very difficult. But I kind of went into our relationship with the attitude of, no matter what happens, I promise myself I'm going to be fine. And I've kind of kept that. It's been 10 years now. But I've always remained in that kind of frame of mind.
That's a really good headspace. How did you get yourself there?
I think, yeah, it was just a decision I made going into that relationship with Jamie. And I'd never made it with any other relationship I'd been in. And maybe I'd been brokenhearted or left feeling like, you know, this is the end of the world when this person walks away. So going in with Jamie, I just made myself a promise, and I've always remembered it, and I've always had it in the back of my head. I absolutely love and adore Jamie. I hope our marriage lasts forever, but he's not my entire world.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important. And I hope I'm not his entire world either. You know, if anything was to happen to me, I hope that he would be able to go on and continue on his journey.
Wow. That is really, really powerful.
I'm going to be a nun. I can't be married if I'm going to be a nun.
Oh yeah, I forgot that. We're moving to Rome to become sisters.
How many years do I have before I have to become a nun?
Sisters of, first soul sisters and then sisters of the cloth. Okay, so coming up we have, let's just get my head in the game. Oh my God, the Queen has COVID.
Who's the Queen? The actual Queen. I thought you were doing maybe a look for something.
She's our Queen. The actual Queen has COVID.
Oh no.
Oh, poor Lizzie.
Oh no.
Who gave that to her? Honest to Jesus. Camilla, I betcha.
Oh.
My God. Bloody hell. The Queen has tested positive for COVID, has mild cold-like symptoms, but expects to carry out light duties. Lizzie, I would say now, love, at your age and considering who you are, just put the feet up.
Oh, defo. Let me, do you ever hear what the Queen eats?
No. Oh my God.
It's a thing. Queen daily meals.
Oh, I feel much better after my cry. Do you? Sometimes I just love crying.
Oh. Okay, so I remember, I'm really fascinated by what people eat on a daily basis. And I remember reading this article about the Queen and what she eats. So she starts her day with Earl Grey tea minus milk and sugar.
Hardship.
And a side of biscuits alongside her corgis.
Hang on a second. She skips milk and sugar, but she eats biscuits for breakfast.
Mm-hmm. She then takes her main breakfast in her private dining room in Buckingham Palace. Cereal, yogurt, toast and marmalade.
Oh, that's so old school, isn't it?
Mm. She also likes fish for breakfast.
Like kippers?
Kippers, yeah.
Or mackerel.
Are they like little anchovies? Are they?
Kippers are like little fish that you get in tins, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure she doesn't get them in tins.
So the article is like the secret to her longevity. So like oily fish is just so good for you. So for lunch, she keeps things simple. She has a plate of fish and veggies, a Dover sole on a bed of wilted spinach. The royal is said to avoid starchy foods such as pasta and potatoes while eating alone. So then for afternoon tea, she has some finger sambos and scones.
Yep, get the carbs in.
And it says that she does that every single day. She loves chocolate biscuit cake and ginger cake. And her favourite sandwiches are, okay, you guess what her favourite sambos are. It's not a ham and cheese.
Cucumber with the crusts cut off.
Cucumber, egg and smoked salmon. I feel like you'd like that.
I would like that, definitely.
So for dinner, she has game things like steak, fillet steak with mushroom whiskey sauce. Oof. Hardcore. For first course, she loves pate. And then she uses ingredients off the estate. So that's another key to longevity, isn't it? Like growing your own like organic veg, things that are grown with love. So that's why they say to go to farmers markets, because people who are growing that produce are putting all of their loving energy into it because it's their passion.
I never thought that before. That's really good.
I order these food veggie boxes sometimes from our local farm, and I rang the farmer one day because I wanted to know his story.
Oh!
So I was like, hey, can I give you a quick call? So I rang him up and I said, hiya, so you say everything is organic. So, you know, is it actually true that everything you sell is organic? And he said, oh, absolutely. I grow all my own fruit and veg, and there, I can guarantee you that there is not one pesticide on my produce. He said he used to work in quite a busy job, like he, you know, had a regular job, but started to grow fruit and veg, and then it just turned into his passion. So his business is called Carrignamook Cottage. Business run by Phil Coffey, with a lot of help from Paul D and Alton, my son. So that's what they say about, you know, supporting local farmers, is they're putting that love into the food. They're often family businesses. They're often full of passion. I order from time to time from them just to support their business, but also because I know that I'm getting like pure goodness into my home. So anyway, the Queen is doing that too. Good to know we have something in common. She's an absolute chocoholic, Claire. Anything we put on the menu that has chocolate on it, she will choose.
Oh.
I absolutely think the Queen is amazing. And to be honest, she stole my heart when she came to Ireland and said she loved our clinky glasses. Do you remember that?
No.
Do you not?
I love your clinky glasses.
So she was in what's the place? Is it Dublin Castle?
Was it Dublin Castle? I think it was, yeah.
So she was in Dublin Castle and she was mic'd up, but she didn't realise she was on mic at the time, and they all stood up. Someone made a speech and they all stood up to do a cheers, and she turned to the person beside her and they all did a cheers, and she went, oh, I love these clinky glasses. She stole my heart. So Claire, I took my Mineral 89 to Rome with me. Did you take yours to Essex?
I sure did. I wouldn't be without it, especially this week, because I got complimented for my glowy skin and I shared our secret with another soul sister.
Oh, I love that. You do have a glow about you, Claire, I must say. So I hope you didn't forget the science, because Mineral 89 is enriched with hyaluronic acid and 89% Vichy volcanic water, which is naturally found in French volcanoes and has 15 minerals essential to good skin health.
Join us on this journey to good skin. Use the discount code SoulSisters20 on marspharmacy.ie for a 20% discount on all Mineral 89 products. Online purchases only.
Yes, that's online purchases only until midnight on the 31st of March. So I've been getting a few messages, Claire, about people asking me, how can I pull myself out of, you know, a rock bottom moment? And I think I've been sharing a little bit over the last 2 weeks that I've been feeling, you know, overtired, that I need more self-care. And people have been sending me lovely messages. So I got one in particular last week when I said I was having a bath to try and wind down. And this lady wrote back and she said, I'm wrecked too and failing at everything, my job, my relationship, and being an unattentive mom. And I said, oh no, I bet you're not failing. It's so hard sometimes. Do you know what? I'm going to talk about this on Soul Sisters, how we can pull ourselves out of that hole. And she said, oh, I'll be waiting for the podcast. I've been taking on too much. My son told me today I haven't had time for him. And it gives you this big moment of realization. I took the big job, but is the trade-off worth it? How do I pull myself out of this?
This is a big one. And I'm going to start with the words of my coach and mentor, because he is the person that I call when I am in a bad place. And the first thing he says to me is, give yourself a break. Leave yourself alone. When we're on our knees and we're in dark, dark places, what we actually do, rather than just try and close your eyes and just say, this too shall pass, this too shall pass, we then try and tell ourselves that we're not doing a good enough job. So like we're doubling down on how bad we feel. And just like that message said there, I'm not doing anything well. So many of my friends who are mums say that. I'm not doing my job well. I'm not being a mum well. I'm not being a good wife. I'm not being a good partner. When you are in a cycle of negative thoughts, stop yourself in your tracks and say, I feel bad, but I don't have to feel worse.
I love that, Claire. And you know, the way things often all fall apart at the same time. So feels like your entire world is crashing down. And it sounds like that's kind of what's happening to that lady. So it's the job, it's the this, it's the, you know, the relationship with her children. It's just all too much. And she's been pushed into that hole. So that too felt like it was happening to me last week. And I think through experiencing being in that hole time and time again, and, you know, once you get out of that hole, it doesn't mean that it's gone forever. You know, we're going to have times in life where we find ourselves back in the hole. But I do think that you have two choices in tough times. So number one, you can numb it with food, wine, scrolling, you know, almost putting your fingers in your ears and going la 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 la. Or we can see the rock bottom as a moment to crack ourselves open. So what I do in those rock bottom moments is I give myself permission to listen to what this experience is teaching me. So I rang you on Friday and I said, Claire, we've lost our surrogate. I'm heartbroken. You know, what am I going to do? And you said, you're being given more time with yourself because you've got more work to do. And I promised myself in 2022 that that was the year that I was really going to acknowledge what was going on in my head and try to take active steps to change that little voice in my head. So maybe you're right, Claire. Maybe I need a few more months of that. So although it could feel like your world is falling apart, and it certainly has in my life over the last couple of days, deep down in my heart and soul, I am here for what this experience is going to bring to my life. Because I trust that it's bringing me to a greater place than I could have ever expected. So rather than see, you know, these horrible rock bottom moments as the end, ask yourself, what is this the beginning of? Look at it as an opportunity. And something Glennon Doyle said in her book Untamed, which, you know, we've spoken about Glennon before on the podcast, something that really, really connected with me is when she said, first the pain, then the waiting, then the rising. Never stop believing that there is going to be no rising. Your rising is coming.
What I want to say about my journey out of darkness and how I cope in rock bottom moments is I have cleared my life of distractions. my biggest distraction, alcohol. Mm. I'm not drinking alcohol for the next year. I love alcohol. Alcohol doesn't love me. I love to drink Chardonnay. I love to drink cocktails. And I love to socialize because I'm a single person living in London. So there's always an opportunity for me to go out there and to feel like I'm part of a really vibrant social scene. And look at me, and I might meet someone I could fall in love with. And I've got loads of friends. What happens is I go out for that big night out, and then there's a big crash on the other side. I lose my consistency. I lose control of the good version of me. Mm. I go eat the wrong foods the next day. My brain is fuzzy. Two or three times a week, I show up to my job at a less than 100% version of myself. And I feel bad. Alcohol is a depressant. So for me, having the strength to walk away from alcohol and taking a year off has taken a lot. I've pared back my social group and my friendships. I have stopped seeing the people who are professional socializers. I've stepped back into myself and my world. And what the absence of alcohol has done for me is it's helped me to feel again. It's helped me to heal. I'm not afraid to look at myself in the mirror. I'm not afraid to deal with the trauma because I'm not up and down. Mm. I am just like this. Know that your phone is making you anxious. Know that there are people in your life who do not serve you. That lady who sent you that message, the best advice I can give you is you're carrying too much. You're doing too much. Don't let this be the sword that you fall on. Glennon Doyle talks about being happy. And when she's happy and she's the best version of herself, everybody around feels the benefit of that. We as women are the glue. And if we are happy and healthy and balanced, everybody who comes into contact with us feels that. Give yourself the space you need to love yourself and the people around you. You will love your life if you give yourself space.
I think that was beautiful, by the way. I think we have the answers, don't we? We kind of know what we need to do. Mm-hmm. So it's about kind of sitting with that, and think by acknowledging that you feel like you're drowning is a really amazing first step because you're aware of it.
Just stop and take a look around. Miriam Hussey talks about this in Rise and Thrive, which, by the way, I did this week in the bath.
Wow.
Create small pockets of space in your life and your brain and your body will thank you.
Mm. And that's exactly it, Claire. I am being given time and I need to figure out why I've been given this extra time. So as you said, Claire, you're doing Rise and Thrive, yourself and Jerry Hussey in the bath. I am so excited to find out what you thought of it.
So you mentioned Rise and Thrive, and I've seen you talking about it on social media, and I was thinking to myself, this is a bit of me. So what I loved about Rise and Thrive was you log on, you can watch Jerry Hussey, Miriam Hussey, or you talking, or you can just listen to the audio if you fancy. Mm. So you can have it as a podcast if that's what you need. So I've started the course. Brought Jerry Hussey into the bath with me, some bath salts, Himalayan pink salt. And one of the first things Jerry said stopped me in my tracks. Why, when we're presented with the opportunity to do a dream job, to sing, to dance, to be the best version of ourselves, do we say, oh, no, couldn't possibly. No, not me, not now. No. So your job is to ask, why not me? We have been telling ourselves for our whole life, no, I'm not good enough. No, it's not me. No, 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 I couldn't possibly do that. No, no, no. Hey, how's that working out for you? Mm-hmm. Is that working? Has that got you to where you need to be? No, it hasn't. So as Jerry says, if we spend our lives thinking we can't, which is something we've learned, by the way, it's not we weren't born with that we can't attitude. Why couldn't you just flip it and say we can?
Mm. And that is why I wanted to create this course. And that is why I needed Jerry to come on and talk about inner belief, because the way that he does it helps you transform the way you're thinking, and therefore you can start to live the life that you deserve to live.
Yes. And I took down this sentence because it really made me like get fired up. What is the belief you hold about yourself, right? Find that, write it down, sit with yourself and ask yourself, is it igniting your passions and transforming your world? And if it's not, you need to ask for help and change the way that you think. And the other thing that I discovered in Rise and Thrive is I thought I was addicted to caffeine. Okay. Cut the mustard and me every single day. I need that cup of coffee or my life's not going to go the way I want it to. In Rise and Thrive, Jerry points out that when you drink that cup of coffee, the caffeine doesn't hit your system for 40 minutes.
I know.
So I was sitting there in the bath going, huh? So actually all I'm doing is obeying my brain like Pavlov's dog. I wake up every morning and I think I have to go to that coffee shop and get that cup of coffee because my brain loves familiar. Habitual behavior. So my brain tells me I must do this or else I won't be okay. I'm not addicted to caffeine. I'm addicted to walking up the road to the coffee shop.
Yeah. And where everything Jerry says is just so mind blowing. And it's everything you know, but he just says it out loud and it all makes so much sense. So thank you for your feedback on Rise and Thrive. I'm so glad you're enjoying the course. And if you want to check out Rise and Thrive, you can use the code SOUL at checkout for 10% off over on thegoodglow.ie. Thanks, Claire.
All right, then, time for some recommends. Look, we have gotten to episode 7 of Soul Sisters and we haven't recommended Oprah Winfrey. I mean, who even am I?
Isn't it funny that we have planned to talk about Oprah today, our queen, and then we ended up talking about the actual queen for a few minutes too.
Which you thought was Oprah.
Yeah. I'm so excited to hear what you're going to recommend from Oprah today, Claire.
Okay, so it's an Oprah podcast. And on this particular episode, she talks to a guy called Dr. Gary Chapman about the five love languages. Now, the five love languages are words of affirmation, physical touch, acts of service, quality time, and gifts. Dr. Chapman has written a book about this, and what he says is the reasons why our relationships suffer, be they with your family or with your loved ones, your partners, is because we speak different love languages and we project our love language onto our loved one. And so that's why our relationships don't function as they should. So first thing you do is get online and go to lovelanguages.com, fivelovelanguages.com. Get the test up and then put on the podcast. Listen to Oprah and Dr. Chapman talking about the love languages and then do the test yourself. Get yourself and your partner to do the test and discover how you want to be loved.
Okay. Oh my God, I'm so excited. Jamie's going to be thrilled to sit down and do this. Maybe I should just do it with you, Claire.
Maybe you should just do it with me, babes. Okay, so you do your love languages this week and we can talk about it next week on the pod. What's your recommends?
Oh, I've been waiting a long time to recommend this. So Oprah sat down with Will Smith on Apple TV. And I know not everybody has Apple TV, but there's clips of this on YouTube. Some of the best bits from the interview. So Will Smith has recently written a book. So he goes to speak to Oprah about his new book. You can tell when he sits down, he's kind of a little bit nervous. And he sits down and Oprah says, "This is the best memoir I've ever read." And instantly you can see him saying to himself, "Job done." And he completely relaxes into the interview and they have one of the most mind-blowing conversations that I have ever heard. So good. I watched this twice in 2 days, Claire.
Wow.
There is so many aha moments in this. He speaks about rock bottoms. He speaks about survival. He speaks about his arc of life, which was from fear to love.
Oh, I love Will Smith.
So we've spoken about Miriam and Jerry in relation to Rise and Thrive. But did you know, Claire, that they are hosting an amazing event in the National Concert Hall this Sunday? And I'm going to be popping up on stage with Jerry to have a chat.
Are you back in the National Concert Hall?
Yeah. So there's limited tickets available left on nch.ie. But I'm going to tell you some super news, Claire, and this is going to be right up your alley. They are streaming that event. So you, my friend, all the way from London, can tune in, and it's on from 10 till 4:30. And you can just soak up all the greatness of Jerry and Miriam.
That has just made my day. I don't have a bath to watch Jerry in this week, but you know what? I'll just take a nice long shower before the event and I'll sit down on my couch and watch it.
And get yourself a pizza, of course.
All right, Soul Sisters, we've taken you on an emotional roller coaster on this episode. We love hearing from you, so do keep getting in touch. I'm at Claire Solon on Instagram and Georgie is at georgie.crawford.
And I just wanted to say, Claire, that the person that I'm wishing well this week is our former surrogate. I hope everything goes well for her tomorrow. I hope that she gets to continue this journey because I know that she's doing the best thing for her family and I wish her nothing but the best. And she will always have a place in my heart and be a soul sister to me. I'll never, ever forget her. And the hope that she has given me, the hope that she gave me on the 23rd of December to get me to this point. I'm so grateful to her for that.